I'd like to welcome everybody here today. You can see the meeting only at 10 o'clock as determined by Breakaway Council in March 2019. All ordinary, special and annual general meetings of council as already are recorded and the link will be made available on the Breakaway Council website where the public can listen to the audio recording of previous council meetings. In accordance with the Local Government Act 1993 and Regulation 33 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulations 2015, the audio file will be retained by Council for at least 6 months and made available for listening online within 7 days of the scheduled meeting.
The written minutes of a meeting, once confirmed, prevail over the audio recording of the meeting and a transcript of the recording will not be prepared. We have everybody in attendance. We have no apologies. We have no leave of absence. We do have staff in attendance. So
we'll move straight into 24.2.1, which is public question time. Do we have anybody who has anything to add? Councillor Drummond.
Thank you. I've got two questions. One is from question from Gary Luck of St Mary's and Jacqueline Hargreaves of St Mary's. It's the same question. They were having a discussion, so it came into one question. Regarding the St Mary's to Cornwall Trail, the priority for the trail is listed as high in the recreational trail strategy. We would like to know if a budget has been developed for the 5 kilometre section from St Mary's to Cornwall, and if so, what the cost estimate is. We'd also like to know what options are available for funding. Thank you. So that's that one, which I've sent over. I've sent it to Jane, to Molly, and to... And I've got the Pit of Ondergroup one as well. Oh, I sent it to Molly, Jane, and Rebecca.
You can just resend it.
Yeah, I'll just resend it. And the second one is from Peter Vonneberg of Beaumaris. I'm concerned for the bicyclists travelling along the bay into St Helens. Would it be possible for council to increase signage pointing to the track so that bicyclists are made aware of the shared cycle track that goes around George's Bay into St Helens? So that's good. Thank you.
Directly from a pond or a lake, small little area, and directly onto the beach. There is, from that bit of water, there is actually a little sort of area that, when it overflows, allows it to do that, but this was being directly pumped. So their question is, owners allowed to pump water directly from this natural human-made water area directly onto the beach?
We'll have a look at that.
Thank
you. Can there be a response within 7 working days? Do we have any other questions from the public? If we have no further questions, we'll move on to 24.3.0. This is a declaration of interest for the Councillor of Plants Association. We have done. 24.4.1, confirmation of minutes of the council meeting 15th of January 2024. Can I have somebody move? Councillor Owen, second to Councillor Chappell. Do we have any comments regarding the minutes? I'll take it for the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 24.5.0 is the council workshop held since the 15th of January for information. We have no planning authority today, 24.6.0, so planning authority is nil. We'll move on to 24.7.1, outstanding matters. Is anybody got any to raise, Councillor Chappell?
Just a question, if I could, please, on page 14 at the top, mentions the Bay of Plays Master Plan. I'm just wondering whether that item there would need updating in regards to the MOA that's been signed.
Sorry. Sorry, Christy, could you? I couldn't hear
Sorry,
that.
Sorry, on part. At the top of page 14 where it talks about the Bay of Fire Master Plan, just wondering whether that needs an update in regards to.
Thank you.
After it's me, yes, we provide an update, which happened in my unit and also the discussion which Managed Community Services is having with the Councillor Hyde.
Just a general question on when the
The infancy, so at the next council workshop there'll be a practice run with the council. Councils participating in that, and I'll be able to view the streaming and then all the worlds and then go to the mark council.
Just having a few glitches with camera number two, but I'm trying to sort that one out.
It's moving
the wall.
Put the makeup on
for
the workshop.
Oh.
Councillor Johnson?
Okay.
Councillor Drummond, did you have a question?
Yeah, I do. Please, if I may. There is a note about the streaming, which I was going to ask about on page 13, and it talks about the installation date being the or beginning 11th of December, so I didn't know if we wanted to update that one to reflect where we're at. So thank you, Councillor Wright. I've got a couple. On page 11, there's a mention of the current understanding the department is considering a speed reduction of 90 kilometres an hour on the Tasman Highway. Do we know anything further about that, John?
Through the introduction, what the update from major infrastructure has been provided there.
Only what's there. I'm very grateful to see that. It would be just nice to see it at 80, really.
Yeah, so that's right, extensive response there. We're just trying to work out what's happening in relation to this engagement process now that the election's been called.
Yeah.
That's probably going to have an impact on that.
Yeah. I had a question about that a little bit further on. Okay, so that's that one. I was wondering if page 13, we're talking about the Online Access Centre, and there was next step will need to be a question in Parliament. I'm just wondering, has that, well, in light of everything that's happening, has that been organised at all? No.
Everybody's in caretaker mode
now.
Thank you.
Obviously, the opportunity, and I suggest that the community will be actively involved in both Labor and Liberal through this process, the election process around the Online Access Centre.
Yep. And my last one is on page 15. We've had the free Sunday green waste at Anson's Bay trial for 2 months. I was just wondering how that was going, if it was being well utilised, or if we had any feedback on that.
Thank you, infrastructure.
Thank you to Mr. Mayor and Councillor Drummond. Richard has reported that it's been reasonably well used, but in terms of volume, it's not sort of super significant. But the community has appreciated the fact that it's
great. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. That's
thank
it.
You,
thank
do we have
you.
Any further questions on this? If not, we'll move on to 24.8.0, which is nil. 24.9.0, notice of motion, which is nil. 24.10, Councillor's question on notice, which is nil.
Thank you. Just under notice of motion, I know we've got nil, but I just wanted to foreshadow that at the next meeting I will be raising a motion regarding the exhibition hall in St Mary's. So I just wanted to make councillors aware of that. We had a small community meeting with 10 residents last week, and I'll be bringing that forward to the next meeting around the non-demolition of the building. Thank you. I just didn't know where else to mention that, and I did want to forewarn council, so thank you.
Thank you. 24.10, council's questions on those, which is nil, and 24.11.0, council's questions without motion.
when will the, or can the council please arrange for the sign that says no to the voice campaign that was last year, that can we find a way for that to be please taken down?
So through you, Mr. Mayor, as mentioned previously, we've raised that sign along with a number of other signs in the state right, for them to remove the sign because it's their responsibility to begin with road reservation, and they said they would be able to attend to it through the contractor.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. I raised it then, it's still there, and that's two weeks ago.
A lot of new ones going up as well.
Sorry, through you, Mr. Mayor. I just feel that that was a political campaign that was a long time ago and it should be taken down.
Fully agree.
I have a question on that as well. I'm just wondering how come signs like that are able to be put on trees when it's generally
We chose state growth, who are the responsible authority to get rid of those signage, which is what we've been doing, because
about 10 signs between here and Canara, they're all trees. They're all trees. Yeah.
New ones are going up now, which is really the signs about that size, being through to trees, right through the valley, just right through one system at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're quite happy that the general manager is working with state growth on their responsibility to remove those signs.
Thank you.
24.4.1 is the mayor's communication. There is an alteration there on the 14th of the 2nd. The meeting with Minister Ellis was councillor at the last minute. I was in Hobart for it, and they actually called the meeting, the election, and straight into caretaker mode. But I was actually down there with the deputy president on a lot of stuff to do with the outcome. So it wasn't a meeting that was the only reason why I was in Hobart. Mm. It was just that one with at the last minute was cancelled due to the election being called. 24.12.2, Council's reports for the period ending the 19th of February. The Chamber of Commerce, Deputy Mayor Christy Chappell.
They haven't had a meeting this year yet, but the next meeting will be on Tuesday, the 9th. Tuesday, the 5th of March. However, I won't be able to attend that one, so I don't know whether we need to call the last year to do that.
Okay, do we have anybody? Obviously,
for Councillor Carter to attend as representative. Thank you very much, you've got the gig. The agenda for NRM Special Committee, Councillor Drummond.
We had a meeting on the 5th of December, our next meeting is the 5th of March. I do believe that there was a Georges River meeting on the 9th of February to which I didn't receive any notification. And looking at this morning's Examiner, where the Mayor is speaking about that problem at the Georges River and asking for feedback. So, and I've been sharing that information this morning with other people. I just don't know why I wasn't aware that there was a meeting, because I'd been to the first one and I'd asked to be kept up to date as the NRM Chair, but I didn't receive any notification of that. So, thank you.
Thank you. East Coast Tourism, Councillor Hoover.
Yes, the Board, we're very pleased to see that funding has been provided, $300,000 over a three-year period for the Positive Impact Plan for East Coast Tourism, and the selection process for the part-time East Coast Tourism employee based on the north end of the East Coast has been finalised, with Claire Attlee being the successful applicant.
Thank you very much. The Access and Inclusion Advisory Committee, Councillor Drummond.
We had a meeting on Monday the 12th. Can I just ask, Ange, I was unaware that there was a Georges River meeting, not aware. Thank you. We had a meeting on Monday the 12th where we did a review of the two International Day of People Living with Disability events. I've done an article for the March newsletter for council based around Neighbours Day, which is the 20th of March, about looking after your neighbours, like vulnerable people, but everybody, just because we've had a couple of deaths in the community recently that have gone unnoticed, and a lot of people have been feeling a little bit traumatised and not sure how to go about what they do with that. So I've just done a short article talking about ways in which you can engage with your neighbours and make sure they're okay just by reaching out. And we've got a meeting on the 10th of April to hopefully finalise the review of the action plan once the council staff have fed back into that process. Thank you.
And Councillor Carter, in the future, yes, you will be speaking on behalf of the Biofires Master Plan.
Well, I've got something to say now.
It's so good to hear.
On the 20th of next month, this is organised a meeting, so I'll get something in terms of activating some conversation.
Very good, and it's really good to see that we've, with the special regional projects being signed off now, the MOU, the Biofire,
and get the recognition that it deserves for and so that's really good news for our community.
24.13.1 is the Corporate Services Department report. Good morning, Brown.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Councillors.
Brown, would you like to go
through this report and highlight anything that you need that may be more relevant?
Yes, certainly. Thanks, Mayor. Councillors, the Corporate Services Department report for the month is presented as written. You'll note that there's the Capital Works budget review has been complete, and that's presented later in the agenda for your consideration. We continue to work on a number of key policies around cyber security and associated IT controls. There's a capitalisation procedure that's very close to finalisation. For those that don't know what capitalisation means, it's the difference between a capital project and an operational project. So that actually makes quite a big difference to the way you look at your profit and loss statement and your balance sheet and the capital works program in your agenda. So I'll be able to provide some more information on that when we go to a workshop. And at the end of financial year, there's quite a lot of work that happens in this area. So it's probably something worth just taking some time to have a discussion around. The rates and charges policy, which went to council last year, we've had a look at that. We don't believe there's too much that needs to change within that policy, but again, that'll come to the next workshop for your review. And the asset management policy, David and I are both working away on that in the background, getting more information and more data to actually inform, I suspect, quite a significant rewrite of that. Probably early next financial year. The investment portfolio continues to perform very well, which is no surprise with the interest rates the way they are. It is worth just noticing, I don't know whether councillors have noticed, that the investments in the profit and loss seem to have dropped off. That's because they've shifted into the balance sheet. And that was from the auditors directing us to do that. And I just thought it was probably timely to let you know that the cash hadn't actually disappeared out of the profit and loss. It was just sitting in the balance sheet. So, not this stage, Mayor, not this stage. The rate summary is provided as well, councillors. It does appear to be a higher level of rates outstanding at this time, but that's probably no surprise given the position some property owners find themselves in. And that is really all from the Corporate Services Department for the month, Mayor, if councillors have any questions.
Thank you very much, Ralph. Appreciate that. Well, if somebody moved the report, we received Councillor Drummond, the second of Councillor Carter. Any questions, please, Councillor Drummond?
I do have a question, because I have raised this before, and it was around how many rates are outstanding, how much longer rates are outstanding. My question was pertaining to the fact that we used to give a small percentage of rebate to people who paid their rates up front.
Yep.
And I'm hearing, I don't know if other councillors, but from the community that they are missing that small discount. As you say, people are in financial stress at the moment. And I'm just wondering if we could potentially look to that again when we look at the budget this year and maybe look towards reinstating a small discount for those people.
Through you, Mayor. Councillor Drummond, the discount remains the same. It hasn't changed. So currently this financial year, the early payment discount, we've paid out over around $117,000.
Didn't we reduce it? I'm sure we reduced it.
Not that I'm aware. I could be wrong.
There was discussion. There was a reduction a couple of years ago.
I know it's very small. I guess that the feedback I'm hearing is that just that's in light of particularly now, where and it might have been, sorry, a few years ago, I forget sometimes timing, that people are feeling it more on the hip pocket. So I was just wondering if for our community there was something that we could do into the future. And it's interesting hearing that, you know, there are later payments. So thank you.
Did you say we've already forgiven 117?
117.
Yeah.
That's quite a significant drop.
That would equate to somewhere a little bit above 1% of that total rate, I suspect.
Does that include our concessions?
Concessions are on top of that.
On top of that.
So the pensioner rebate, which we don't pay, but
no,
the total rate remissions and discounts this year is over $611,000. And last year was $560,000.
I'd just like to join in that. But if you're paying up front, then we actually get that money. We can get interest on it.
So, yeah, that's right.
It's not, we're not forgiving anybody anything.
No.
Actually getting the money up front and we can put that into
That wasn't my term, Councillor.
No, but I'm just saying. Yep. I'm no great mathematician, but I know my own budget.
Pretty much exactly what I was going to say in that, those who don't pay up front because of whatever reason, they just bring a reduction. If that's money we're not now getting, then we're losing that money.
Thank you.
I suspect, councillors, I've only got 2 years to compare, but I suspect we've actually had a higher uptake of early payment this year than we did last year. So certainly the community are aware that it's there. And while it's still in place, I will note that most of the larger councils don't have that discount anymore. But as a support measure for the community, it's certainly something that some members of the community appreciate.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Does the community have any further questions to Rowan on the Corporate Services Department report? If not, I'll take them away. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 24.13.2 is the monthly financial. Would you like to go through this one, the knowledge that you've now provided to us outside of what's in the report?
Thanks, Mayor. Councillors, you will note that this report has the original Capital Works program there. Mm-hmm. That'll be replaced once we vote on the next item coming up. The operational budget overall is tracking very close to where we expect it to be. Keeping in mind that operating grants are down nearly $1.3 million on budget, that's a really significant amount of money. And we hope that the federal government pays it in advance. But as I said at the last meeting, our cash position is better than it's been for some time. And we will be able to absorb that to a point this year. But certainly it puts our budget position next year into a fairly difficult place, which as we move more and more into talking about budgets, that'll become more apparent as we start projecting for next year. The interest and investment income, which is on the P&L, that predominantly relates to Tazwater and their dividend income. So that's just a timing issue. That'll smooth out fairly soon. We've got the insurance recovery there, which I'll just keep reminding every report, because it is, you know, around $150,000. And capital grants are down about 1.4 on budget, which just again relates to project milestones and delivering on some of those projects like the Mount the Pump Track, St Mary's, Fingal, those sorts of things. Materials and services are down 15% on budget, which in many respects is actually just about tight budget control. So, the managers and staff are doing a good job of keeping that down as much as possible. And moving through the balance sheet, as you'll see, the cash position there is pointed out. That's certainly a good improvement on last year, but we also need to be aware that there's a capital works program which equates to some $8.3 million at this stage. So you need to keep that very much front and centre, that while our cash position is good, there is a very large capital works program there still to spend. And Mayor, I think really, unless councillors have any questions, that's all from me on that. Mayor, I think it's a really important point to make at this time of the budget cycle and looking at moving into the next budget cycle, that we have to work as hard as we can to move beyond relying on operating grants for our operational delivery. That's the goal of financial sustainability, is moving beyond that grant. That grant is not a given.
Okay.
The level of that grant is definitely... As we move into thinking about rates and our financial position, we really need to start thinking long and hard about our reliance on operating grants, because that's what makes a sustainable council, is being able to operate without that effectively fiscal
horizontal.
That's the one. Thanks, Mayor. Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you very much. Have we got any further questions to the
I would like to just note, thank you for your explanation. This council meeting of what the financial reports for this meeting, it's been helpful. Thank you.
No worries. Thanks, Councillor Johnson.
Mm-hmm. We have no any questions. Two rounds on this. I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. 4.13.3 is the
Not really much to update there, Mayor. They continue to do a great job down there. They're very self-sufficient. The filling up of water bottles and recycling bins in the town is an interesting point, and I believe that some of the staff are actually working on some more water stations around the town. Recycling bins in the township is something that we should probably consider more in the future. That may have been considered in the past, Mayor, before my time here, but it's certainly something to consider. And the old mobile phone network coming up again. We all know if you rely on mobile phones as your primary source of being able to talk to people come summer, the towers are overloaded with data and they don't operate properly. So, you know, part of our, I think, you know, at some stage we are going to have to lobby pretty hard to try and get the capacity of those towers increased, because it will continue to be a problem until the actual capacity of the towers themselves are increased.
Okay, can I have somebody move the report previously? Councillor Johnston, second Councillor Carla. Questions for Ralph, please. Councillor Johnston.
There's no questions, but they are the two areas I underlined, and would like us to consider that. In particular, I think the recycling in our towns, and I know I'm saying it again what you've said, but mobile phone network for our residents. We talk about things like we've just spoken sustainability and things like that as a council without these grants. But my Lifeline network is our communication, not only just amongst ourselves, but if there's disasters, whatever, it seems to me this is an area that I don't know where we do it. I know lots of people, like residents, have been on the phone to Telstra, people swapping whatever, and Telstra's saying, wait until the visitors have left. That's what they're saying. Wait until there's less people. We are not prepared to up it, and so people have been moving to office. Not that that's helped. But potentially, I think this is something that council, we need to be really mindful of and advocating on behalf of our residents.
I agree.
It's nearly an occupation of health and safety. Anyway, they're the issues that I wanted to raise, and thank you for raising them.
Councillor Carr. Mr. Harper, and Councillor explain exactly what I was going to bring up. As a provider of accommodation, the most common thing that happens almost daily is the businesses can't get access to the information. They can't do business in our community. So I agree with what's been said today totally. We need to advocate strongly to make the community good.
Councillor Drummond.
Just two things. One of those is medical emergencies. I actually have both a Telstra and an Optus SIM in my phone because sometimes I can't get out on Telstra. So if you've got like an emergency that you need to make, it is very difficult. So maybe the state government will start to put Starlink up for us. Who knows? Wouldn't that be joyful? But just another comment, really, not a question. I did attend the backroom meeting on the 9th of February, and I did provide a short report for councillors on that meeting. It was a really worthwhile exercise. It was great to meet the volunteers and to sit with them. I learned a lot, and I was able to thank the volunteers. And then Kim wrote to me later, and I laughed because she wrote, quote, "It was a good meeting, and please, you could meet some of the backroom volunteers." One of the volunteers commented that it was a really interesting meeting and enjoyed attending, so that is a ringing endorsement for any meeting. And she says they were very appreciative. So it was just a lovely meeting where I learned what each of the volunteers do in their own little realms. I learned a lot, and I will go again because I think it was a really worthwhile exercise.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Any other questions? We'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. 24.13.
This is one where it is here. Capital Works budget review. Rightio Rao, you've got to sell this one to us.
Look, the cap at this time of the year normally we do a capital works and operational budget review. This year we decided that looking at the operational budget and how it's tracking, there really doesn't need to be any major shifting of funding around. I think we've got the budget at the OPEX level running pretty smoothly. The capital budget is always a bit of a moving feast, though. Prices change, quotes, might be over what we expect when we set, a fairly high-level budget at the start of the year. So, look, we've highlighted all the different things that that we need changed, and we've gone through them pretty much individually, I think, at the workshop. Really, at this point, councillors, we have the funding to continue to do this thing. Some of these areas highlighted in yellow, like the St Mary's Indoor Rec Facility, that's actually, we've already approved that through a council decision, so that's there. And other areas there are simply, in many cases, reallocating funds from one project to another. It's important to recognise that with projects under, for example, $5,000, it's highly likely they will end up being expensed at the end of the year rather than being a capital project. So just building on that for people's understanding of this is rather than it being in the capital budget, it then shifts across into the operational budget because we don't want to put that on the asset register and we don't want to have to depreciate it. So that's a very simple explanation of how that works. And unless councillors have any questions, I don't think I can sell it any more than that, Mayor.
No worries. Thank you, Ralph. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Chappell, seconded Councillor Wright. Have we got any comments or concerns or questions? Councillor Drummond?
I'm just really grateful that at page 35, Roel has made that reference to the notable escalations being around materials and labour. And I think that we see that outlined when we look towards things like the Fingal Community Shed and the St Mary's Indoor Recreation Centre, where there are huge increases on the original budget there. So that's a bit concerning. I did have one small question, and that was in regard to, and I might be missing something, but I thought we put a capital allocation of 50,000 or something to put solar onto the town hall in St Mary's. Do you remember, John? I'm pretty sure we did. Because I think the Mayor mentioned it even when we were up at some public meeting. Can't remember when it was. Might have been. Ah, could have been. Yeah. Because I just thought that we had allocated, and as I said, my brain, my memory is not good as.
If you remember, Councillor Drummond, the comment was about the gas.
Yes.
And
yeah. That's right.
Because we had the night meeting.
Yep, yep.
But I can't remember that we'd approved to put solar on.
All right.
So, according to the Mayor, this is based around the original adopted budget from near 4 months ago.
Mm.
So it would have been pre that.
Might have been.
Or, yeah, I'm just not.
Can we maybe.
I know there's been conversations around it.
Can we check on that? Because I did think it had gone through.
We'll check with,
you thought it did too?
We'll check with the Drug Services Coordinator.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's just looking at the original budget there through you, Matt, the St Mary's Hall upgrades, it doesn't have a budget allocation, but there's a line item there. So it may have been contemplated, but it doesn't look to me as though there's ever actually been an allocation put there. But yeah, this is very much a Jake area, so you'll know when he gets
right.
back.
I just didn't see it, that's all, and I was wondering where it had gone. Thank you.
Do we have any other questions?
Thank you. I also noted that big machinery has gone up close to 40%, which is also massive. As we're replacing things for our, I suppose, general maintenance, you know, like the mower and the forklift, and that the things that we have to have up there.
Yeah. So through you, Mayor, I mean, it's an interesting counterpoint, isn't it? And we're all seeing this, that, you know, we're getting great returns on our interest rates, but we're also paying on the flip side of that for delivering services, you know.
Yeah, sorry, Mr. Mayor. I just want to check, you said the machinery
gone
up
40%.
Forklifts? The actual total was...
I'm just looking at the forklift.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, the forklift and the mower. But the things that we obviously are using all the time,
you know,
just
through
the roof.
Yeah, some have gone up quite a bit, but also the mower is actually, there's a slight shift there in that we've gone to the electric mower to actually see how that operates, and that was substantially more expensive than traditional people. So
but the ongoing cost will be less.
Will be a lot less, exactly. So the life cycle costing will be. Will be probably lower, but upfront cost is substantially more. So that was a strategic decision, just to trial it, see how it went. Good thing about electric mowers, it doesn't make much noise. It's running for one motor, almost 1 o'clock in the morning, it seems like we can probably achieve that.
And you're looking for a second job, Councillor
John.
Okay, we have Councillor Drummond.
Just looking back, it was a motion that I moved in. May of 2021 that was passed unanimously for the report. So I don't know what's happened since that time. The motion was that council upgrade the St Mary's Town Hall, including but not limited to solar panels and improved heating facilities, with a view to making the hall more user-friendly. That was carried unanimously. so I'm not sure what happened from 21. Yeah. Yeah. Lovely. Thank you.
Do we have any further questions? If not, I'll take the vote on the vote. Carried unanimous. Thank you. 24.14.1 is the Works and Infrastructure Report. Good morning, David. And thank you very much, Rao.
Thanks, councillors.
Morning,
morning
there,
David.
Councillors.
Would you like to highlight anything in your report?
Just that in March, just to let you know that we have what's called a surveillance audit by CASA on our airfield, which is a reasonable audit. They come every 5 years. So there's going to be a few people tied up with that for a couple of days. And also during March, we'll be making arrangements to shut the airport for 2 days to do standard runway maintenance, which is done usually about this time of the year. Outside of that, the big one, I guess, is in terms of capital projects, North Anson's Bay Road. You may know that we've been sealing that over a couple of stages in the last 18 months. We finished that last week.
And that was
the end of all the LRCI program phase 3 projects. And so now we're sealed from Acacia Court to the junction with Anson's Bay Road. And just beyond that, we've dealt with some issues of having to raise the road to mitigate the local flood issue between that junction and Eddiston Point Road. So big project, and that's finally done.
Congratulations.
Outside of that, we're just waiting for confirmation from the state growth about further discussions with the Tasman Highway Corridor Strategy, and as soon as I know more, we'll be advising you accordingly.
Thank you very much. So, can I somebody move the officer's reports they received? Councillor Fagan, second Councillor Barnes. Any questions today on the report? Councillor
Fagan. Question, it's just a pat on the back, David.
There's a dig out anywhere I live in Talamore Street, and just the procedure of the works gang turning up minimum fuss,
the way they work,
their professionalism, their feedback about the dig out and why the water was under the road, possibility of pits, and then just saying, you know, if you're blocking your driveway, you get out
and blah blah blah.
Yeah, it was just fantastic. I was proud to be a councillor and work with them. So, thank you.
Thanks very much. We'll note that. Councillor Carter.
Just a comment about the Tasman Highway strategy. There was another accident, I think it was a bridge the other day, which was quite a lucky one in the sense of the guy didn't come into it. But what I'm getting at is I'm wondering in the short term if we can continue to lobby for a reduction in speed and an improvement in some of the signage in our area of responsibility. Our municipality, so I thought I'd explain. I just think the number of accidents we've had in the recent times in our community, we can't not agitate as strongly as possible to see if we can do something about it.
I agree.
David or John, anybody? I mean, this is a state growth issue, and we wrote to state growth. We're asking for them to look at the reduction. I don't know what much else we can do, but state growth now has no minister, with only caretaker mode. So we can't intervene and put signage up on a state road as a council.
I wasn't suggesting that now. I'm just simply documenting in the sense that it's something we just can't ignore, and the more it's written down, the more we're going to respond.
That's right.
Can we make that? Mm-hmm. Can we make that in some way an election issue?
I don't think election commitments are going to be based on what people want to speed in. I imagine it'll be based on the infrastructure itself with the different parties, but everybody has the right to talk to every political party and person and candidate to put forward what they believe is a very strong, whether it's an emotional plea because of the accidents or whether it was the need for further investigation.
I was just going to say, is there something, as we're later on in the agenda talking about entering into an MOU with the SARA group, is there something that we can utilise that SARA do in regard to petitioning, because they seem to have been quite successful in other areas, and with us going into an MOU, becoming partners with that organisation, is there something that we can pull on from that group of people to actually try and get speed limits reduced? Look, you know, I just think lower speeds result in less catastrophic injuries and deaths, and if we can protect our community, I agree with everything that's been said. We need somehow, and I'm just wondering if somehow through that partnership with SARA there are tools or ideas that they've got that they've used in other areas that we can draw on.
So the Tasman Highway at Nicholas is currently signposted as a re-reduced speed limit of 64 miles per hour. The State Growth and Transport Commission allow anybody in the community to make a request for a speed limit change.
Yeah,
and you can find that information on their website, and there's a process about how to do that. If council want to, and we've done this before, think about Falmouth, we went out for community consultation, albeit our road connected to the state road, and there was some interaction there in Falmouth.
All State Growth want to see is that there's broader community support for a type of move. Then there has to be a rationale that has to be put together, typically with a traffic engineer, because State Growth have got a series of warrants that they need to meet when they review speed limits. And once that process takes place, at the end of the day, the Transport Commissioner will make a decision as to whether that will apply or not and issue a directive to the appropriate department.
Requesting or suggesting in some certain hotspot areas that are speed-related accidents, some kind of permanent speed limits, like that in other places. But yesterday on my way from St Helens to Scamander, the guy in four-wheel drive went roaring through there, right at the bridge at Wrinkles, and he overtook three vehicles. We were in the 80 section there, and he's straight up. He would have been doing easily 100. We were doing 80. Sometimes I just think there is some warranted reason for having
been there. There's two issues here. One is speed, the other is drive behaviour. And that situation there, you were talking about, that's like, this is what the speed was, whether it's 40 kilometres an hour or 80 kilometres an hour, an idiot like that will continue to operate as an idiot like that. So,
but if we have speed,
that comes through to. But the speed limits are only there as a static thing. It's the Tasmania Police who then enforce those situations. So, unfortunately, like whatever we do with speed limits like that, it's not going to solve the issue of driver behaviour.
So, that's sort of where there's obviously an issue with road design, accident hotspots, and that sort of stuff. That's what we brought the attention of the Department of State Drive here as well. Not sure about what the incident was at Wrinkles, but I think it is a spot where there's a potential accident because of the design of the bridge and the way it sort of blocks the middle of the road as well. So in the context of that, as David has mentioned, there are processes there to actually enable this to happen from within the community, one of Morris, Falmouth. That was a community, that was our road.
We're talking here about the state highway, so that's State Growth. So that is, they're the ones who would do the investigation and consider what's been raised within the community.
Jane, you've got your hand up.
I was just going to say that there is going to be a community consultation as part of the Tasman Highway upgrade, so they have hit the pause button on that because they're in caretaker mode, but there will be opportunity for the community, and if you encourage the community to have their say through that process as well.
If I might, what did you have a standard time frame on that?
Well, the time frame's all gone out the window now because they're in caretaker
mode. What was the advertised time frame?
Well, they were coming up to talk about it next week.
Okay.
So they've only emailed us this morning to say because of caretaker mode they've had to hit the pause button.
Okay. So I didn't realise this is a criticism. I'm simply our community suffering because of idiots or inadequacy in the road system. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we can sit around and wait for something to happen. So all I thank you for that response, and I'm happy to follow through with what Dave advised.
Thank you very much, Councillor Brown.
Sorry, Johnston.
Yeah, I was just about to say something similar to Councillor Carter, but I want to thank David for raising that, because I think potentially that's what I was part of that felt when I was and I think if we can, it's the Tasman Highway, but it's a lot of us use it, so it's a broader community. So I think if we can potentially point people to, or how the council might be able to help point people to how you actually use that mechanism so that we can actually get to state road, so they can get to state road and put these issues up. So I suppose, so that we're not talking about it round and round the council, potentially it's something I wouldn't mind us discussing a little bit more in the workshop so that we can see how we can help the community help themselves.
Just seems to me that obviously we've got those longer term issues that they're working on the pause at the moment. However, it may be timely for a Tasman Police maybe more an update.
I've noticed an increase in the last month that there are more in around locally and all the way through the valley at the moment, radars and cameras and stuff like that. So they are about it. Obviously it would be a busy time. But it might just be a timely, maybe for a Tas Police update from our local inspector or something, so we can have a bit of a chat or a meeting with them or something, and it might be a bit of a stopgap just to address some of these until we get a permanent answer.
Councillor Chapman, would you like to propose, just being a little bit preempting where you're heading with this, that we might like to invite our inspector to a workshop and at a future time, because the police can't be everywhere all the time, and I think they are aware that that may be a very opportune time just to highlight to the inspector what our concerns are, because it is a policing matter.
Last week I was asked by some ratepayers about another possible reduction in speed, and when they explained it to me, I thought, this makes absolutely perfect sense. I couldn't believe that I hadn't thought of it before. So I'll put that in for the next workshop. But it seems like with mine and with the Bay Morris one and with the Scamander one and Dynas Basin, there's three or four going on. Would it be logical to bundle them together to work with state growth? Mm-hmm. Because they don't want to be coming here for one and going away and then coming back for a second and...
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The recommendation is that the report is received by Council, and it's a summary of activities.
Thank you very much, David. Can I somebody move that the report be received? Councillor Fever, second Councillor Barnes. Any questions to Councillor Carter?
It's not a question, it's just an additional piece of information. There was a recent home invasion at Akaroa. The altercation had started as a result of two dogs, one attacking the other, and the consequence of that was that the people decided to take it into their own hands in terms of going to the house and continuing the conversation. Obviously that's in the police hands, but I'm just alerting us to it simply because our dog control officer or anybody else that's acting on our behalf, they're going to be subject to that sort of irrational behaviour and even very mindful, and I know we are, but I thought it was important just to otherwise that.
Thank you very much, Councillor Carr.
I was happy to elaborate further if anybody requires.
Very much appreciate you bringing that forward, and the police are looking for a person with a bandaged right hand.
Um,
Do we have any other further comments? Councillor Johnston.
Thank you, Mayor. This is just a number of ratepayers in Falmouth have approached me about how many cats are running around. I know it's really hard for them to do anything, but they just come to me and just said it's on the increase. So I don't know where. I know it's a state thing, because I actually, there's someone in Falmouth that actually is, works for the department and says it's a state thing, but I just, I don't know, I just need to let people know that we have a real issue around a major increase in Falmouth, at least in Falmouth, I don't know other places, of cats whining. And
thank you very much.
After the workshop, I thought about this issue a bit more and came to the conclusion that to make the recommendation that I did, based on the majority of feedback not wanting a change there and the fact that the system currently works in terms of being able to find properties and mail and all the rest of it. And so this recommendation has come really for a discussion and decision by the council in relation to that recommendation.
Thank you very much. You know, somebody first moves the opposite recommendation, so we bring it up and debate. Councillor Feaver, second to Councillor Johnson. Councillor Feaver, do we have anybody here who would like to recommend anything apart from the opposite recommendation?
I just think it's good, Sheffield, there's nowhere else. We've got no name
roads,
so.
Okay.
I just think, as I said at the workshop, if the majority of the people are not in support, then we can't really impose a road name on them, so pleased with the officer's recommendation.
So everybody's happy to the officer's recommendation that we do not assign a road name, I'll take that in the vote.
My question would be, if I may, through the chair, David, would you be contacting the Corneliuses to discuss with them about it?
What we'll be doing is writing to them to advise them of the council's decision.
Thank you.
They're aware of the recommendation, I'm presuming, given the fact that they've had a keen interest in this and they've seen it in the public arena. But we will be writing to them, advising of that my recommendation was accepted by the council.
Carried unanimous, thank you. 24.14.5 is safe roads.
Safe roads and highways partnership MOU. David.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor and
councillors.
This has been through the workshop. We've sat for the presentation with the President and Sara.
And we've reached the point now where I'm making a recommendation that Council consider entering a partnership MOU with SARA. The benefits are outlined in the report, and it also is sort of aligned and compatible with the Vision Zero strategy that government follows in the state, and with all the work we do on the road network, it's consistent with that safe system thinking.
Thank you, David. Can I have somebody who did want to recommend the recommendation? Councillor Drummond, second to Councillor
Wright.
Any questions? Take it
away. All in favour? Very unanimous. We'll stop for a quick 10-minute break.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, 24.15.1 of the Community Services Report, and good morning,
Mayor. Good morning, Councillors. Can I just update you on some other projects that we're doing that have come in after we've submitted these for the report. The Reconciliation Action Plan, we've again emailed again, so this has now put our timeframes out. We had hoped to start the process in February, but we're still waiting to hear from them. We're still trying to reconnect, to connect with them. They just aren't responding to our emails. We were successful in receiving another 6 months funding for the Get Into Gear project, which is great, for the Learner Driver project. That came through just before the election was called, so that was good timing for us. And on Monday the 4th of March, and I will send an email to councillors, the independent regulator will be in St Helens from 4 till 6pm at the Portland Hall. She will be talking about processes and where they are and what they're up to and how it works. So we have sent it to community groups. They have also sent it to community groups. We provided them with a list, but it would be good to get this information out to our community.
I'm actually attending this
For that session, I'm actually attending that session as part of the choir. I've been asked to go as part of the community choir because they got the invitation through the independent person, and they're sending a couple of people along too. So yeah, we are.
Or the merrier. 4 till 6.
Yeah,
yeah.
Second.
Any questions, Chris? Johnston.
Thank you. No, just my question is, what you've just given us, then, will that be sent to us or included in the minutes of the report?
The invitation?
No.
It's in the minutes, yes. Yep.
I just have one thing, just very tiny, minor matter on page 71. We have two Disability Day events, not one these days. We did have one, we've now got two, so can we put an S on that? But just to say that the Welcome to the Town Christmas signs, I just think is such a fantastic project and so well received by the community. And the kids were so delighted when I took the posters back to St Mary's for them to take home. It was just, it's such a beautiful project, and I think for such a small amount of money, we've done this, I think, wonderful thing in our community. So thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Over to you, John.
Be a bit of a lag time between DA and building, but we are seeing a bit of a shift. Unfortunately, even with the new planning scheme, we're not seeing more permitted or no permit requires. We still have a very high level of discretionary as a percentage when we look at that, Mr. Mayor. The system was meant to be faster, cheaper, simpler, fairer, all that sort of stuff. Well,
faster, fairer, simpler and cheaper, I think, was
the proof is not in the pudding. Yeah, the proof is not in the pudding, Mr. Mayor.
Can I have somebody move the Development Services report be received? Councillor Barnes, seconded Councillor Chappell. Any questions to John on this? We'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 24.16.2 is the NRM committee meeting minutes.
Good morning, Polly.
Morning, Councillor Lilly.
Thank you.
Morning, Polly.
Do you like to talk us through this?
Yeah,
please, Polly.
Two sets of minutes. We missed the earlier set from last year, in December. Key things to note, I've included. Urban Deer Management's moving to Parks and Wildlife shortly as well with new staff, which is good to hear. But simply to council take note of that.
As best we can in some of that work in the future
Otherwise, the main things out of the meetings were recommendations to appoint new members to the committee to fill some vacancies, which were the following item.
Thank you very much. Somebody moved the office of recommendation, Councillor Johnston, seconded by Councillor Drummond. Any comments?
Can I just ask a question? I should know this because I'm with the deer management, that was when we had that meeting, they were making it clear that it was going to Parks and Wildlife, or was that a new thing?
Yeah, no, that was there. Yeah, and I understand they have been recruiting since Christmas in the last couple of months, so I'm hoping they've actually got three regional staff plus a staff member who spoke to us, to the committee, to oversee peri-urban deer management, which is highlighted as an issue in the deer management plan for the state, and they're keen to work with councils on that. Yeah.
Okay, we'll take this to the vote.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and through you. The committee's had a number of vacancies under its charter for representation for a while, and I think Councillor Carter's been instrumental in headhunting people for us, and the committee's taken an approach of inviting them as a guest to see if they like and are interested in participating, and since that time Mrs. Faye Harding has been very keen to represent the Aboriginal community and participate in the committee, and at the last meeting Lise Fearman, who's a farmer from Scamander and an ex-teacher, is keen to fill a community position. At the same time, Parks and Wildlife had a change in staff, and Brian French is New Parks representative there as well. So recommendations is to make those three appointments.
Thank you very much. Well, if you know, somebody moved the opposite recommendation, Councillor Wright, seconded Councillor Johnston. Any comments? If not, I'll propose this one to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you very much. 24.17.5 is
the general manager's report. John, fair bit there for you to talk about. Would you like to take that? I'll start at the top. We've seen past, had a conversation last week with the State Growth Officer that's responsible for this project, and once again, the opportunity to reiterate Councillor Williams to engage with the consultant, and also the importance of that engagement with the local community as well was once again emphasised. Offered the Department of State Growth and consultant the opportunity for a briefing on the investigation that council had undertaken there as well. So,
just a brief question.
That resides with State Growth. It's not a political thing now. So because the government is changing, that's not going to get lost in some kind of quagmire, is it?
I'm actually a little bit surprised that State Growth are actually not proceeding with the corridor study. Of course, it's basically administrative action. So this one's administrative action that they're proceeding with on this one. So it's already funded, etc. So this will progress. Once again, though, any opportunity to highlight to political parties through the state election process the need to look at this alternative route, that's fine. We need to do that. But certainly Labor were briefed on this proposal as well, at the same time as the Liberal Party many months ago.
Sorry, I just had this terrible fear that even though it resides with State Growth, it might sort of, you know, just disappear.
No, hopefully not.
Thank you.
So, I'll just draw Council's attention to this one there with the RFDS and the discussions which have gone on. Because there are longer term implications here for Council to consider in relation to the aerodrome. And that is due to the change in the aircraft that they will be using into the future. The moment they've got it covered, and they've developed an approach to keep the 200 series in the air for a longer period of time. But ultimately, at some stage down the track, unless Beechcraft start manufacturing a different aircraft with lesser requirements, then
there.
We had a challenge with the air not going long enough.
Just highlighting that, but also note there that's probably we need to review the St Helens Aerodrome Master Plan to ensure it does meet the future requirements moving forward there as well. And then, obviously, work with the state and federal government regarding a solution to the situation. I have noted in here that St Helens is not the only airstrip that's affected by this forthcoming change, but ours is by far the highest used strip as well. So, there, future local government review. Well, who knows what's going to happen after a state election process. We'll be...
Ask it all over again.
I'll wait till I get to the next item before I talk more about that. But anyway, and then obviously you start
election. So obviously, yeah, our priorities are identified.
Documents there, and we have provided a copy of that document to all of the candidates in Lyons that have been announced, or most of them, and also to the major parties as well. So now we just use the opportunity to advocate. We'll provide a copy of that document to councillors as well. So if councillors happen to see a politician, which no doubt will come knocking on your door at some stage, feel free to also advocate the priorities there as well, because we need to do everything we can. And then probably linked to that then is the East Coast Strategic Regional Partnership, which we'll talk about shortly as well, Mr Mayor.
Thank you. Can I have somebody move that we receive the General Manager's report? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Carter. Any questions to General Manager on the report, please? Councillor Johnston?
This is not a question, but with the local government review, which you said you want to speak more about that.
Yeah, I've got a lot of this. Thank you. Councillor Chair,
have you
got a question or just scratching your ear?
Thank you. Okay, I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. LGO2, Council Learning Development Policy 24.17.2. John.
Yep, thank you, Mr Mayor. So obviously part of the scheduled review of policies. This one took a slightly different approach because
through the learning development working group, which has been facilitated through the Office of Local Government, the draft policy was developed and part of that working group. I looked at this policy in the context or compared it to our existing policy and felt that
wholesale change. Start with, and then wasn't perfect, so I made half a dozen changes to that policy, and really that was around make it more explicit. The learning development plan was created, linking the plan development to council core capabilities, which is something that the working group's working on, those council core capabilities piece, including particular areas of interest as well. And then to do with the cost of maintaining the framework and also annual reporting on activities in the annual report of council as well. So I provided both policies, the original policy and the amended policy, with track changes so councillors can have a look at that, Mr Mayor. But interesting councillors' thoughts on this, please.
Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Carter, seconded Councillor Oldham. And any questions to the General Manager on this? Councillor Drummond.
Just a comment, I think the cleaner
policy reads cleaner. There's a lot less confusion in it. And I very much like what we discussed at workshop, which was playing to councillors' core capabilities and strengths and interests, if you like. I think that's really important that we build on those, because there's a lot of expertise around the table in different areas, and it's good to be able to call on that when we need to as a council.
Yeah, no, that's true. And the other thing about it, a lot of what we've actually put into this policy is going to feed back into the model policy.
Yeah.
So they've also like to go and make some changes.
That's great.
That based on
well done, John.
Over. Carried unanimous. Thank you. 24.17.3, the review of the policy gifts and benefits policy, John.
Yep, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Another one of our scheduled policy reviews. This one was a little bit simpler. May 4 and 5 changes to it. One was that in the policy we had an amount of $150, whereas the regulations specify as $50. The issue within our policy was that our definition of council official included contractors. I felt that was overreached because we really had no way of effectively monitoring or implementing that because it's a private business or private individual. How do we ensure compliance with that? So I'm not, that one really didn't sit comfortably with me. The acceptance of money prohibition, given the prevalence of gift cards, they changed the definition of money to been expanded to include gift cards, and the recording in the gifts and benefits register, I replaced it with a more comprehensive approach to the recording system, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Can I get somebody to move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Wright, seconded Councillor Carter. Questions or concerns? If we have none, I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 24.17.4 is the NTDC quarterly report, John.
Yep, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So due to the fact we exercised our enterprise powers to establish NTDC, required to provide us with a quarterly report, which Council just needs to consider. So happy to take questions and hopefully answer them, Mr. Mayor. No doubt NTDC are now strongly into advocating for emerging priorities that were in the that were prepared late last year through the election process.
Somebody moved the officer's recommendation. Councillor Beaver, seconded Councillor Chappell. Any questions or any comments?
Just a comment. It was nice to see that Dorset have signed back up and are, you know, they say they've got a review date, but at least it's good to see they've got back on board after a number of years away. So it makes it feel like it's a more cohesive kind of northeast. Mm.
Yeah, so that was. Yes, Councillor Durham, it was good to see that happen. It's been something that's been a lot of work done on.
Yeah. Good outcome.
In the light.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. And obviously ongoing work with Flinders Island. A bit more difficult with Flinders because they've got some budget challenges there as well. So financial stuff comes into it there. But they actually do benefit.
Any other questions or comments?
It's now operating with the CEO that's there. It's actually finding it to be quite a good change. So, yeah, quite positive and, looking forward to the work they've been doing. They've become quite professional in what they're doing.
Councillor Fever.
We've been invited to lunch with them tomorrow. Is there anything in particular we should be pushing?
No, I'll just talk to them about the priorities for the region and the area. And what's important, they can certainly help with advocacy, particularly with things like the federal election, which will come up as well, but certainly ones like the St Mary's Pass as a key link. Certainly that was pitched as part of the priority projects. It's in there with the infrastructure as well. So I think highlighting the St Mary's Pass one, that's an important one for the federal election process as well. So that'd be the critical thing. The highlight.
there with them.
I think John, it's really important, that one, that we really hammer it, because the funding pool mix has changed with the feds and the state now. Where it used to be 80-20, it's now 50-50. So the cost of that now is significantly increased to the state government, and it's also very important that we push that really hard through the state government election, how important that is to our coast.
I think that that change by the federal government was not nice, and I think advocacy for that to be changed back to something more acceptable. After all, the federal government's the one that has the financial capacity to fund these projects, so they should be putting in more than 50% of the cost of some of these projects as well. You look at how much they spent on the Midlands Highway upgrade to create a four-lane highway, so, yeah.
There's one, and the reason and the rationale I raise that to you, Councillor Fever, is every one of us around the table at some point in time in the next few weeks are going to be hit with different politicians and candidates. And it's really, it could be the tipping point of where a project, hypothetically, just use round figures, was $50 million, 40 to the feds, 10 to the state. If it goes 25-25, perhaps the state might pull back. We can't allow that to happen because of the importance of that link, that new route over some areas is really paramount importance to protect our communities. And the funding change by the federal government has potentially put a fair bit of pressure on our projects. We need to be really out there fighting for them.
So, yeah, Mr. Mayor, any advocacy around that, that all helps. So.
Okay, if we have no further comments, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. 24.17.5 is the annual plan quarterly review, John.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So halfway through the year, probably sitting a little bit below the percentage that would have been where I expected. We're sitting at 44% versus 50%. I would have expected to be about 46 to 47% side of things. Probably some of it's been working my way through the key ones, which pulling it back slightly. Mainly really brand was part of it, but then that was around timing for activities too, so that not due to start until this time. So that will come back up. Population, that was a resource availability challenge. Well, we've now started on that, so the lead times on some of these strategic activities are affecting progress, so we might have a certain time frame, but it just takes a while to actually get moving, because going through developing consultants' briefs and then getting it moving, you can't recognise a huge amount of progress, but you're making progress, so that can catch up. And that's something to do with car parking section. There's a few anomalies there, a lot of tracking okay, but yeah, you can take questions and comment on anything else, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Can anybody have any questions? Gary?
No. A few.
few things, if I may, through the Mayor. I did send a little email, and Jane did some publicity around the... So I'm looking at page 155 with improving sustainable enjoyment, use and care of natural environment. The upcycling and repurposing group in St Mary's are in the finalists award category for sustainable living, so that's really good, and Jane did contact some media in regard to that, so... You struggling?
Up to hear you.
That's all right, sorry. The upcycling and repurposing group, they're in now the finalist category of the Tamar Sustainability Award, so that was really positive. And I did have something later on. Sorry, bear with me. I was going to ask about the social housing in... it's on page 169. Social housing in the community housing project at Fingal. I note that the appeal date was ended on the 1st of February, so has that gone by without an appeal, or is there an appeal lodged?
I think from the TASCAT, so we are assuming that it's fine. So, yeah.
That's now, good news. That's really good news, thank you. And below that, we've got housing projects at Centre Care Evolve, which I assume is that one we're discussing there. But then there's one at St Mary's with Homes Australia. Are you able to say anything further about that, John?
Yes, up
on
the hospital.
Oh, right, yep. Yep.
Great,
thank you. And I think we have one more. Thank you. I know that was around the parking. That was all right. No, that's it. Thank you.
Are there any other questions for John?
Thank you.
If not, take that to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. 24.78.6. Okay, well, that'll begin. Councillor Rice and Councillor Chapman. You just didn't get there, man.
You want to re-put the motion? You can re-put the motion, Mr.
Okay, so we'll re-put the motion as moved by Councillor Wright, seconded by Councillor Chappell, that we receive the officer's recommendation. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 24.17.6 is the future of local government review, the final report.
Well, Mr. Mayor, where do I start?
I think,
Mr. Mayor, like before us really, well, before we get to the actual thing, it would be incredibly disappointing if we've come this far to find that it sits on the shelf gathering dust, because there's been an extraordinary amount of resources put into it by council and the sector, and there's a lot of recommendations and information in there beyond boundaries as well. So it will be interesting to see how this progresses post-election. Obviously, irrespective of who wins the next election, I would feel it will be a number of months before it even gets on the table for consideration at the ministerial cabinet level, because they'll be dealing with everything else that they've promised and whatever. But here we are, less than 2 weeks from that end date on the final report, and we're in this situation. Nevertheless, having vented my spleen on that one, the critical thing we need to do is just to finalise our submission. It's been to a couple of workshops, been to council meeting. I've had no other comments received from councillors. I'm happy to... any further comments from councillors on the submission that's proposed, and then we can wrap this one up and we'll see what happens in the future, Mr. Mayor.
I suppose we should also elaborate on the meeting we had with the Department of Local Government.
Well, yes.
Office of Local Government.
So met with the two mayors, GMs and the Office of Local Government about process to move this forward. Assuming there's an investigation to go on. We talk, apparently, who knows what it looks like in the future. resources were going to be secured in the forthcoming state budget to provide support. The level of support that they were going to provide was very good to support councils through the process, so I had no concerns there. It's probably a bit more than I expected they were put forward. And so quite a solid, positive conversation. But now we sit there, so the next step would have been just to work out some principles which would underpin how we approached the investigation side of things. But now we're sort of sitting again. So who knows, Mr. Mayor? But it was a good conversation.
Can I have somebody endorse the submission, the officer's recommendation? Councillor Carter, second Councillor Chappell. Any comments regarding this?
The only comment I'd like to make is at the meeting that we had, I think it's still really important that we continue the good working relationship with the other two councils and still sign up to a set of principles to allow for a further investigation to occur if and when that occurs. Would that be out of the reality check, or?
No, Mr. Mayor, so I would just have to wait and see, but at the end of the day, what we're dealing with here is our submission, our response to the final report, and then we'll just wait and see what happens from there. Who the minister might be, we've been fortunate with Minister Stewart. He's been very good interested to work with on this. And that's what we've got looking forward to.
Do you have any comments towards this? If not, I'll take it
for the vote. So can I just... Oh, it's a comment. So that the working relationship with the other councils, that's not in the report. That's
submission.
So all in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. And 24.17.7, East Coast Strategic Regional Partnership Agreement. John, would you like to talk your way through this one, please?
I probably just want to shake my head at this one, Mr. Mayor. After reporting to Council for several months about not having a process and continuing to pursue, trying to get an answer on process and when this would start, and the last report was about a meeting in December, and a letter which was expected to do with the partnership and the process we follow, the engagement, Then the meeting with the Premier Senior Advisor came up quite quickly, actually, after that meeting in January. And then what was the conversation talking about strategic items and what we thought would be wanted to be discussed, we get a draft MOU, and a highly different process, but at the end of the day, what's in there is pretty much what I would have expected. There were strategic items for council plus a few extra, but yeah, all very fast. As I understand, I've included the in there that we ticked off on a number of the state budget and election priorities that we had there as well, and it really can't look the gift horse in the mouth is one way of viewing the situation, but it was quite an unusual time period.
You're very elegant with your words today, Mr. Brown.
Just been very circumspect with what I say, Mr. Mayor, because there's a recording happening. But still, as I've talked about the ones there which relate to the Breakaday area and the ones, the alignment with our different documents, be it annual plan or with our priority things. The fact they picked up a number of those things and moved forward, that's really important. Bay of Fires Master Plan, that was an ongoing frustration. The piece around regional population and housing needs analysis, that's the fact they've picked up the regional population piece, that will tie back into some work there. So it'll actually be a bit of funding for this analysis to happen. And that housing needs analysis is something else we've been pushing for a few years there as well. That's really important. The St Helens District High School Master Plan, like the fact, okay, they will consider that when it comes to a major upgrade. That's an important commitment. And then the St Mary's childcare facility, that was like, that's vitally needed in that community. So to see that work that was done by the community come forward, and we were able to advocate using that information, that made it a lot easier there as well. And obviously health is there, the worker accommodation situation, and then the thing that, and there'll be a report coming to council on this, is in relation to what's loosely been called the St Helens and Billon Bay livability strategy. So that's pulling together a number of things that council have identified around car parking, green spaces. I've detailed in there some of the different ones. We had a number of little projects, St Helens foreshore piece. We've got this piece presentation coming up from Stephen Burgess as well. So there's a number of things that were there individually. So this will pull it together and add extra meat around it. So we're just scoping that one out. Our council officers have pulled some threads together. We're working on a presentation for council around making an application to the federal partnerships and precincts program. So that using that information, we were able to do put this together like very much incredibly last minute, literally overnight to pull it together. But at the end of the day, they put funds beside it. Now, as I understand it, the Premier signed a minute regarding the MOU. So from a process point of view, that locks it in, as far as I know. So we're just trying to confirm the status of that. But if that minute has been signed, well then, forget about the election, it doesn't matter, it's been committed. So it's administrative action from then on.
We're just confirming that,
but we keep advocating anyhow, so that they are our election priorities. So we keep advocating for it. It's an easy gimme for the two parties because it's been committed. But at the end of the day, things like the St Mary's one, we want them to pursue that and to really work on that quickly, because it is sorely needed up there as well. So, yeah, just
could I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Barnes, second Councillor Chapman. Councillor Donovan.
I was just thought, where did that come from? Because that's not something that's come to council before, and it's interesting that you've pulled those threads together, I suppose, to make this compact of issues. I guess in light of, maybe if we have signed the MOU, maybe you're right, maybe it then becomes administrative and not political, hopefully, because there's a lot in there that wasn't in the election priorities. And I was looking at what you said over the page and what was said earlier on, and the fact that you had been going for the RPPP funding, potentially. And to me, it seems more like something of that size might still reside better in that bucket of money, because as we just said, the feds have got a lot more money than the state. So I'm just wondering what was the inspiration to put them all together into this livability strategy and move them into the state. That was...
Highly competitive grant process, so there weren't any guarantees that we would get funding. Also, the federal one was a minimum $500,000 grant as well, so we were stretching to get to that level.
I thought that was the first stage, and then at the second stage, there was $5 to $50 million in the project.
Yeah, so then that's just for the planning
size. $500,000.
Yeah. Then the next
phase is $5 million plus for infrastructure. So by taking this opportunity, it gets on the table quicker. So if we've got the funding there and we can get into the process and get moving with this, once we've scoped out what this looks like, then that puts it makes us better placed for the putting a grant application for the big dollars down the track there as well. So it was a case of, well, the bird in the hand versus the highly competitive grant process and no guarantees there, particularly given the fact they had put in a number of items which weren't strategic in nature around infrastructure. And when I saw that, it was like, hang on a minute, this is not what we talked about. So it's a bit of saying, well...
So are we able as a council to explore that more, maybe at a workshop? Like, what's in that pack? I mean, you said you were on the almost up to a point of bringing it to council. So I just think it would be really worthwhile for us as councillors to know what that package actually looks like.
That's the intention to do that.
Thank you.
The only... we've got to work within is that paragraph. So really, there's quite a bit of latitude still around what can actually be incorporated. It's just that opportunity there. So yes. I think the presentation you have from Stephen Burgess might actually do some reshaping
some of the thinking.
When there is
that presentation going to happen?
After the next council workshop.
Okay.
So on at the next council workshop. So that's a couple of weeks away. Uh-huh.
So will we talk about this at that workshop prior to that Stephen Burgess presentation? Fantastic. Thank you.
There's no time frame to get this done.
Yep.
But the opportunity was there to do something.
I just think if we're going to have that presentation, then it would be good for us as councillors to be more all over that compact, what's in there, pull it apart, have a look at it, understand it, and then go to the presentation with Stephen Burgess.
And then we'll
thank you.
Back to future workshops and reshape and things, but there's also a bit of savings for council too, because some of the sort of basic commitments we have at the moment as well. So,
I just hope that the MOU stands up and does get thrown out.
When I signed it, they said that once it was ministered at the regional workshop at Tribunna, when I was down there at East Coast, when we signed it, they said that was it. It was secure, and I was pretty keen to put my signature on it. But we've got to remember, this happened at 5 o'clock at about 20 to 5. I think we started getting tapped on the shoulder, saw the final version about 8:45 that night, and Tuesday I had to sign it. So we basically did everything we could within our power to get the very best deal we could. Councillor Johnston.
Oh, sorry, I'm a little bit slow today. I just want to confirm, when you were talking about this, were you, your question, Sam, Councillor Drummond, were you in fact talking first of all about the St Helens building?
That's all I'm really talking about.
I'm
only talking about that point 7, St Helens been a long bay livability strategy, because that was something that was like, oh, where did that come from? I've never seen that before. Everything else I was very familiar with, and I'm really grateful to see that particular.
I wanted to make sure that was not in the minutes of that, because in my brain.
Thank you.
It is now.
Yeah, it's just the St Helens been a long bay livability strategy, and that I'm talking about. The rest of it is kind of, we're aware that we put that forward. I just didn't know where that package of...
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, Councillor Johnson.
Do you have any further questions?
Good to see you again, but now we're going to tell you.